Welcome to the Tom Castro Shooting Academy podcast. You have now entered the next level. What's the attack here? What's the attack plan? And what exactly are you, what is your goal? Like, you know, what's your schedule like right now for since you just took it over?
Working with you, man, not taking it over, but the last 10 days since it's been announced, it's been constant. I don't want to say constant, but several meetings with the RMs in Troy, several meetings met with Jake over the sponsor stuff and Donna, and then Yemin and I talk just like you and I do. It's just as much talking to Yemin about the match and stuff and getting other people's input. And like Matt said, we're taking stages from a variety of different people, because just like at South Carolina, I've always believed in multiple flavors for the match. So we're going to try to bring that to the match. I don't think we'll have 21 different stage designers, but it is open to that. And we're taking those up to April 1st. Matt's going to get them all in SketchUp. And then we are going to, after that, we will have a committee that will review the stages and get them all assembled to make sure it's got the match flow that we can hit what we've got to and not have, as we know, too much reset in a certain zone and stuff like that. So lots of considerations other than, oh, this is a really badass stage. As we all know, we got to figure out how to make it work with 3 days of matches and, 3 days of the main match and probably close to 400, 450 shooters on that match. So,
So when you, how has it been so far when it comes to just trying to, like, get all the organization done? Cause you have so many different pieces that have to come together, right? It's not just you and Yemin. You've got the NROI, you have staff, you have, you know, scheduling, you have stages, you have equipment and da, 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 da. So are you kind of, are you guys kind of like, are there little pockets of who does one thing, this, and this, or how's that going so far?
Yemin is working on the staff. Troy is helping him out on that, making sure that we get all the right staff and going on that. Gary McConnell came up with a good idea. He likes to say I helped him, but I had a conversation with him about it where we selected the RMs. The RMs are chose their CROs, and then they're working with their CROs to put a team together for the stages themselves. So that's a little bit different than what was done in the past. So we're really working through the bugs and making sure all that works out.
What was done in the past? Did that just the NRI picked everybody?
I can't speak to it. I think Troy worked with that, but it wasn't done this way. That's what I know.
Okay, cool.
I don't know exactly what was done in the past on that. Yeah. So
I personally think that it's important that the NRI picks the staff and knows what the staff can and can't do or whatever. I think that's a great thing. So I like that you kind of take and allow people to kind of pick the people they know they work well with, instead of just jamming a bunch of people that might not agree or get along. Cause we all know how, just because you have an NRI certification doesn't mean you might be the guy that for that stage or for whatever it is, that doesn't know, that should not be the end all be all for sure of who gets on the stage. That's for sure.
Yep.
So I would rather see them pick somebody who's a better RO without the certification and then get them certified. You're certified. Cool. You're good to go. That's not the way to go, I don't think.
Yeah. But for nationals, you have to be certified to work a stage.
No, but that's what I'm saying. You would be better off picking a crew that, you know, isn't like, pick somebody who might not be. So let's just say you're not certified. That's fine. You're not certified. We'll get you certified. Now you got to take the class, this. So we make it to where we get the best people and then get the credentials that they need before nationals. Does that make sense?
There's actually some on the staff list that have been doing it for a while that are getting certified so they can be on staff.
Yeah. And that's the way to do it, instead of just picking someone because of a certification, I think.
Yeah.
I think your pool opens up, I'm assuming, by doing it that way.
And we still do need staff for all of them, but the most immediate is Carry Optics Nats. It's at the end of June. The staff package is on the page under NROI. You can go there, look at it. Your meals, hotel are all covered, and there is a travel stipend on that also. So, and you get, I believe it's two NRI jerseys also along with that. So it's a pretty cool experience. This will be my first time working ANATS, not let alone three gnats. But yeah, it'll be fun.
That's actually pretty good right there, dude.
Yep.
So, all right, so let's get into the nitty gritty. What in the hell are you thinking?
Well, it's one of those things where I bug Yeeman for over a year now to come out to South Carolina and kind of see what we were doing. And when the opportunity presented itself, he was like, do you want to help out with this? Well, I was campaigning for it at that point, but when it came to being added into it, and then I took a bigger role than I wanted to initially, but we, if you have a chance to help make a change, you sometimes just got to take it, even though you're not ready for it. So I probably would not have, okay, let's do three nationals and South Carolina and help out with Area 6 and still do the war match. So I don't know. That's what, six majors this year I'll be doing. Yeah. I'm a little crazy. So, but it's going to be exciting. The South Carolina section match is the blueprint for what I want to do at nationals. Yeeman will be at the South Carolina section match. Donna's coming up from Florida to see it. Russell's going to be working it. Frank Rizzi, after I've talked to him a few times, is so interested in it. He's coming down for, I think he's going to be there Thursday, coming in Thursday very late, and then, well, almost Friday morning, but he'll be there Friday and Saturday. Then he's got to fly out first thing Sunday morning, but he wants to see how you can shoot 10 stages in a half day.
Everybody so, wants to know that, dude. It's awesome. Yeah. I had more questions about that from all my match director friends, and I'm like, oh God, it's called money.
But yeah, he's gonna money, be
dude. That's what it is. You've got to pay all these people to work.
Yeah, he's gonna be shooting. David Lyle moved off of the MPA squad to go to the staff squad so he could work at the bay,
the booth, yeah,
while the MPA team shoots.
That's
so
cool.
That opened up a slot there. So Rizzi's going to be shooting with the MPA squad on Saturday morning, so he can see what it's like to be a shooter on it. And then he'll also be able to see the behind the scenes and help out where we need him to on staff day and Saturday afternoon. So
that's cool, man. I'm at, I like that. So first of all, I'm proud of you, man. It's pretty awesome that you took this thing and you got on there with Yeeman and you said, look, man, I can help make this better instead of just everybody bitching and complaining. This is the whole reason we did this, right? This is why we grew South Carolina to what it is, so that this would change, right?
I don't think I grew it specifically so I can go run, help run.
No,
that.
No, yeah. But okay. So you have asked me a million times about running vendor areas for other people. And I'm going to tell you, my goal was not to be a professional freaking vendor area guy. I, you know, it's vendor's row has never been the goal, right? Yep. The vendor's row is the result of the change that I want to see, right? So I don't make any money doing this. And I guarantee you, I'm not going to make money doing this, just knowing how everything works in this sport. So I'm not going to put a lot of time into matches or things that don't reward me not even financially. Just, I don't get a reward for helping someone who's not my best friend or a great friend, right? Yeah. Like, why would I commit all of that time and effort? This takes me a lot of time and effort. So for me to just throw that just because somebody else wants it, you got to earn it, man. Like, to me. So like, if you bust your ass and you're working hard to make your match better, I want to help you then. But if you don't, I'm not your guy. I'm not going to come and save your match. If you're a lazy ass, I just don't do that stuff. I have to see the effort, the work, dude. The reason I come and help you is because you work so hard. You have the same work ethic I have, if not worse, like harder, like you work harder in some of this stuff. Cause I don't have to do all of this that you have to do. I get probably a quarter of what you have to do is what I'm doing. Right. So yeah. I don't have to deal. Now I know you've added more to it this year for me, but it's like, oh my God, like, dude, I have a lot of shit also going on. You got your own shit going on. So it's like, my goal was never to do this for a living. Your goal is not to do this for a living. Obviously you wouldn't be able to, I almost cursed there. You wouldn't be able to do it for a living, right? It's just, there's not money in it for that, but the love of the game and knowing you can make it better is what we do this for. That's why I do this. We've had conversations about me coming to Nationals and doing stuff. I want to badly. I know I can make it a better event.
Well, we all can, but you're a competitor first. We've talked about this numerous times.
The big thing for me is you have to be able to let me do what I have to do. You can't do this stuff and be blocked, period. You have to allow me to do what I have to do. Todd, I didn't have access to a range. I didn't have access to the biggest bay of the range when I first met you. I didn't have any of this, and you allowed me to do it. This doesn't happen if there is no free flow. You can't try new ideas if your old ideas are only thing that ever gets heard, or if it's not their idea. And this is nothing against anybody that's there. This is, I'm just saying out loud, like how it works in this. You have to not be stubborn. You have to be open-minded, and you have to be willing to fail. Trust me. I took a big chance on this last year. I talked it up. I had to believe in myself. I had to believe in everything I'm doing at this match. Todd had to let me do it, period. And he had to trust that I wasn't going to screw this shit up and make it stupid, right? But at this point, anything was better than what we've been doing in this sport. Anything was better.
Yep.
Anything could be better than having a vendor 50 yards or 500 yards away from where the actual shooting's happening, or no practice bay for a gun manufacturer, or, you know, no, it's just none of it makes sense to me in sales. Right. And I don't even do sales for a living. I just understand how would I buy something? And I don't get it. I'm glad to see some change, and I hope to see this happen at Nationals, and I hope to be a part of Nationals, but
We'll figure it out. I'm 10 days in to.
I know.
So
that's wild. That's the craziest part of it all is you've got less than four months now, and you're only 10 days in, and it's like, oh boy, we got a lot to do. You got a lot to do, bro.
It is. And like I said, it's South Carolina is a blueprint. If I get it all in the first match, that's great. But if I don't, we've got two other Nats to keep going it on it, because the one thing I have to, well, I've been reminded that I have to do is focus on the match, of course, first. And that's what we had to do at South Carolina, is have a good match and then build on that. But no matter what, we will build on the vendor experience at every Nationals. It might not be full-blown 16 people there for the first one like we're doing at South Carolina, but we're definitely going to build on that. So
yeah, I mean, I don't know the relationships of USPSA like I have with the companies that I'm dealing with, but I don't know what their relationships are, and I hope, because I'm sure they have much bigger relationships than I do. You just have to you got to show the vision, and then you got to follow through. I think that's a big thing for us, is that one of my big things is I follow through. Like, I don't tell these sponsors or vendors that I'm going to talk about them and then not talk about them. And I think that makes it, you have to be a man or a woman of your word in this sport. I still feel like there is a handshake culture out there where you can shake hands with somebody and go, whatever I say, I'm going to do. And I think that's something that's a big thing for most vendors and sponsors at this point, because I will tell you, for anybody who doesn't understand how sponsorship works, I take a giant chance. Okay. I take a giant chance by taking a vendor or a sponsor on. We don't sign contracts. They don't hand me anything until damn near the match has started. We don't get vendor stuff. I could have all 16 vendors tell me I'm coming and no one show up, and I am the one who looks like the jackass, right? I mean, that is 100% possible. That's 100% possible in this sport, because we don't do contracts. There's really nothing financial on their end until I get it in my hand. So it's like, they could just say, oh, you know what? We decided not to go, or whatever it is. So it's like, you have to follow through with what you say. And if you don't, I feel like that's where we're falling off a lot in our sport, is we have to follow through and make them the priority. And I feel like we're doing that in South Carolina. I really do.
Yep.
I honestly feel like we barely even talk about the match.
Yeah. It's that way for any match. If you're going to tell them the local match.
Yeah.
Make sure that the sponsors that we've got through that program get what they need out of it. And then we do it for the South Carolina match. I've talked to other sponsors that are not going to other matches because of the relationships that they had in that match. And so we've got to continue to build on it and make sure that if you tell them you're going to do something, you do it. So they get that exposure, because we're, like it or not, everything that we do for the sponsors, for USPS and everything, everybody evaluates it on the ROI. If I go to Nationals as a shooter and I shoot a okay 22 stage match, but I didn't really enjoy it, there's no return on the investment for you. So it's, you've got to find new, and I'm not going to say innovative ways, but just ways to make it fresh for everybody. And the team that Yimin already had assembled is really good at that, and they're already working towards that. So it's easy to come in, figure out where we're at, and then continue on with that too. So I'm excited about that also. So it's weekly meetings till the end of time, probably. Yeah. I don't know about the end of time, but.
So I think at this point, failure is fine. I don't think anybody cares that USPSA in general fails or makes mistakes. I don't think that's the problem. I think what we care about is that we see a direction and we're kind of going that direction.
Well,
I feel like we've kind of just been sitting there spinning wheels for a while, and we got stuck and kind of, I don't want to say, I'll say lazy, but I mean, you just kind of get in your, like, all right, cool, this is how we've been doing it for years, and it's been fine. Like, the match is finished, start and finish, no problem. We don't have any stages thrown out or whatever it is. We have staff is good. You know, it's just like, I just feel like we've kind of stopped trying to push the envelope. Like, I still feel like this sport could be so much bigger than it is. I know some people probably don't want that, but I feel like we can grow this sport to where it is a household name to gun owners. It doesn't need to be a household name to anti-gun owners. Who gives a shit about those people anyway? It doesn't need to go to every Pepsi owner or every Coke buyer. It needs to go to the people that matter, which is the people who own millions of guns in the country, outside of the country, right? It needs to feel more like a sport, or not even a sport, but an event, right? Like, if we make it more of an event, it'll be something where you cannot, you have to put it on your list of to go, right? You have to put it on your list. It's mandatory, or you're going to feel like you didn't actually get a full season in, right? That's the way I feel now. If I don't go to Nationals, like if I don't go to every Nationals, I'm like, man, what if I would have went, I could have shot a great match, or like, I didn't have the opportunity to go to that match, or you know what I mean? It's like, those are the things where you're like, yeah, I guess that maybe I'm like that, but I know there's a lot of other people like that, but you know, Dragon's Cup, why does Dragon's Cup sell out so fast? Dude, why is this match going to sell out next year in 5 minutes? Right? Like, why? Because 50 people on the wait list, 60 people on the wait list, 70 people on the wait list, right? There's only so many spots to put people in. You give them a reason to come to the match. So that's what I hope to see at Nationals this year. I'm super excited that you're taking the blueprint that you designed at South Carolina and putting it into this match. I'm excited to see that. And also, super kudos to all the guys at USPSA for recognizing the job that you're doing, right? Like, that's not easy it's not easy for most people that have power to go, hey man, listen, I would love help. That would be awesome. I would love some help. Mm-hmm. That would be great. Come on, man. Let's go. Let's do this. I like what you're doing. I like what you're telling me you're going to do. Let's make this happen. You have a good staff. You have a good people that you work with. Let's bring them in. Let's rock and roll and make this thing happen. Like, I just like it, dude. I think it's a good direction that we're going in. I feel like we're growing in the right direction, and it's pretty amazing that I can see it, right? I feel like some of this other stuff you can't see. This you can see. Like, oh, cool. Like, a guy who runs a great match is going to help run another great match. That's so cool. Like, let's do that for everything now.
Yep. And the blueprint for Nationals has been there because we've been at these ranges. So I don't have to figure that out. I just have to follow the blueprint, but there's tweaks along every way of every blueprint that you can do to make it better. Heck, we find stuff that we didn't like at South Carolina and made it better and tweaked that. So that's going to happen along the way. And it's just, I'm excited about it. So.
Yeah. And the thing is, it doesn't have to be better. It could just be more efficient. It could just be easier to put up and take down. There's so many different ways to do this stuff to where it doesn't have to just be. So I'll kind of relate it to the way I teach and train. When I teach somebody about their draw or their grip, I don't change their grip unless it's completely just not going to work. I just change pressures. And it's an instant fix versus I've got to re-grip, break the whole gun down and show them how to hold it and grip it and squeeze it. Instead, I'm like, just put pressure here, put pressure here. What's the gun doing? Oh, it's going left to right. Okay, cool. Add this, change this, up and down, change this. You know, these little things are all you need to do usually to fix things. You don't usually have to tear the whole damn thing apart and start all over again. So being able to take what you already know from South Carolina and taking the blueprint that Nationals already has, like, you know, and I said this before in a couple of podcasts ago, you know, Jake is the main reason why we have Nationals. Like, he's been running Nationals for damn near close to 5 years since I've been here, 4 years, 3 years, whatever it is. Yep. And so he is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to that. So being able to tap into that, the DNRI, being able to tap into that information, Yimin's traveled all over this country and world and RO'd all kinds of different matches. He should have a plethora of information on, hey man, this was awesome. Hated this, love this, add this, take this out. This doesn't fit our system, but it would work okay here. There's so many things if everybody just works together. And I just am super happy to see that we're going in the correct direction and not sticking with what we already have, because it needs to get better.
Yeah. And talking with Jake and Troy and Yimin and I forget who does IT, Rick, that does Rick, IT.
Yeah. That guy freaking, he does amazing work. Yep. He's doing everything.
Yep. So talking to all them and Donna also, and it's, I've been telling them, I'm like, I'm going to ask questions and I'm a smart ass. So you get both of those mixed together. So,
yeah,
but they've all,
fine, dude, you'll fit in just fine. If,
any questions I've asked, they've had an answer for, and then I can ask them, okay, why was it done this way? So I get the history, so I don't repeat the mistakes that they've learned from.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and I think that's the, sometimes that why question is probably the most important question, because it's like, well, why the hell do we do it that way? And it's like, oh, because this, this, and this. It's like, all right, cool. Well, we can do it totally different or better, or just tweak whatever that was to clean it up. It doesn't always have to be, you know, a full teardown. So what do you know what they did last year for stages? Was it multiple designers, one designer? Do you remember? Did you have that conversation at all?
I don't honestly know either way. Yeah. So I haven't had the conversation. I believe there's probably been five or six people that did it in the past at the Nationals and did it. And that's not right or wrong. I just do it a different way.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. I just didn't know. I'm interested in. I was interested in how that last year's match was put together. So it's yeah, that's cool, man. And I'm gonna put my name in the hat for some stages for sure. I'm gonna try to design like 10 stages for Matt and let him pick through it all. So because I, you know, all original stuff. That's all I do anyway. I don't really pick through my stuff and redesign shit. I just start all over again. So, but yeah, those bays are tricky too. And that's the cool part about that range is, you figured out a couple of answers from South Carolina that we might be able to add, or they can add to the walls there and maybe not have a one-sided berm, but that's all in experiment mode. But it'd be cool to, but I started my stage designing started on one berm. So I have lots of ideas and lots of ways to shoot one berm stages that keep you from just going in a straight line. So I have tons of designs for that in my brain, like on how to, it's all angles. You just have to work angles and design it from there. But
and Dan and Corey have been great on that. They've got existing bullet traps. They have experimented with ways to reinforce the wall. Or like you said, we're going to try horse stall mats on the walls and see if that'll help. But basically we don't have to, as long as we're can make sure there's not like one softball size thing that gets hit the whole time,
right?
And we can divert it, putting extra wood up on it. Maybe if the horse stall mats won't rip and they'll stay up on the walls and stuff like that, we're experiment, they're going to experiment with it, but we're not going to have those, I want to say 12 bays there, and some of them are demo bays, but whatever, how many stages are on those, we'll be able to be a little bit more dynamic on them. So
yeah, because Carry Optics and Limited Optics Nationals was very disappointing on those bays. They were just disappointing. They weren't great dynamic stages. You know, it wasn't even a difficulty thing. It was just they reminded me of one berm bays, right? Yeah. Like you very limited with one berm, which is crazy because the sport started probably with one berm, you know, at local straight line shooting. Mm-hmm. But when you start, you get used to three berms and the dynamics and the movement and the entries and the exits you can do and the distance, it just kind of changes the way that, because once you get anything in the middle, you put in the middle, you're done. It sucks up all the angles, you know, so you have to be careful on your distance. And it's definitely, there's a lot of things about a one berm stage that you have to think about from the beginning before you even design it. Like if you put a swinger in, you better build the entire stage around that swinger, because it eats up three quarters of your stage because of activators and the swinger how wide it is. And so you really have to start with the main part of what you're designing the stage off of. And if you don't, you have a straight line, boring stage, right? Like, this is the way it is.
And that's all on Dan Flick and Corey Katz. They're the ones that came up with the ideas and said, we can do this. It's just, we got to make sure we divert it. So I was joking with Dan, but it's halfway serious. Dan's shorter than me. I'm taller than Dan. We both shoot at the same target.
That's awesome.
Check the impact area on the walls and make sure that we're covering it.
Yeah, it needs to be big. So I think the way to do the horse mats, the best way to do those is put them on plywood and then screw the plywood to the wall, because then you can replace them. First of all, you're not carrying those big ass horse mats around, but the horse mat will not rip because it's not what's at, the wall is being held up with the plywood and not by the rubber anymore. Yeah. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is you can't have the rubber be the part that actually hangs and holds, because the more impacts it takes. So you got to stiffen that a little bit, so it's not, like, then you have a buffer for the plywood is keeping it from hitting the wood as well. Kind of, it moves a little bit, right? Don't ask me how I know that stuff. I might have built some shit like that before. But yeah, man, I'm really excited for you, man. And I'm glad Matt came on. He's really good. And he's really good at the organization of the stage stuff. He always makes really good stages. I think one of the best stages last year was Limited Optics, was his stage, except for what they extended everything 50 yards on it. But it was a great stage other than the distance. It just was one straight line of hard, you know, tuxedos at fucking 30 yards, like a half target at 30 yards, like Jesus, you know? So, but it was a great mat, great stage. Everything got really far away. But yeah, man, I'm really glad for you. And, I still think you're crazy, bro. You're nuts. You got problems.
I've told myself that a few times in the last 3 days. So.
Well, don't worry, man. In about a week, I'll be there on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'll be there in 4 days, and you will. Did I just freeze?
Yeah, you froze. Counting.
Awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, cool. You will have 4 days of me. Of us going through this.
yeah, it's 4 days. It's a little bit.
Well, I'll be there in 4 days before we get to start this mess. So yes. I think I'm still frozen. That's awesome. All right, man, I'm done. You got anything else?
I think that's it. Need staff for Carry Optics Nats and all of them. If you guys want to sign up, hit me, Yeeman up, and we'll help you out and go from there.
Yeah, man, it's staff is important. Please volunteer. They definitely need them. You don't have the match without them, that's for sure. And without the match, without the staff, we don't get to do what we want to do and have fun, that's for sure. So need to find the helpers.
Yep,
I plan on doing some volunteering this year for Nationals, but just hopefully behind the scenes kind of stuff. So, all right, brother. Well, guys, if you haven't signed up for South Carolina, do it just so I can, so we can see how many people want to shoot the match. we appreciate everything you guys are doing, or, you know, signing up for the match. It's pretty amazing to see the support that we're getting this year. It's growing, dude. It's getting bigger and bigger every year.
Yep.
It's time for two bays to next year for me, baby. Let's go.
Okay.
Woo! Let's go.
You're dreaming now, dude.
I'm running out of room, man. Screw the match. I only care about the vendor. I will have a mini shot show by the time I'm done with this match, dude.
You can move up into the parking lot.
Let's go. Dude, I'm just shooting into the woods. So, all right, guys. My video is not working, but Todd's is, so that's good. You get to see his beautiful face for the rest of the video. So if you have any questions, hit us up in the comments. If you guys are looking for any information about the match, give me the website, Todd. SC section, what is it?
I don't remember. Give me just
that. Oh, man. We're terrible.
I was doing something else. So it was SC section, USPSAmatch.org.
So I'll put the link in there for you guys so you can link it up and go right to it. But if you have any questions, just email that and let us know. The matchbook will be out in a few days. The rest of the stages will be printed or sent out on Monday or Tuesday. We'll get everything out to where it is all out on my page and South Carolina Sectional. All the stages will be up. And then you'll get a full week to kind of look at them. But everything's done. We're ready to start building and putting things together. Remember, come out and help us build. We'll appreciate it. And we might actually get done sooner and not have to be there till 9 o'clock at night. That'd be awesome.
Yep.
So, all right, man. See you, brother. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one, y'all.
See ya.